Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go. Hey, Enchilada Nation, excited to be having a conversation today around something that I think is really important and very timely right now. This is a four-part series on your ability to execute. I think we've all spent a lot of time putting together our goals. We're good at outlining what those look like. In fact, we're all pretty good about getting motivated, finding our sources of motivation, whether that comes through reading or podcasts or whatever that is. We create this motivation, yet we still have this gap in our ability to execute. So over the next four episodes, we're going to be covering the four disciplines of execution, which if you've read this book, this will be a great reminder. If you have not read the book, here's the two caveats I will tell you in regards to it. One, it's the message of the book was one of the most impactful to my career in helping me execute at a much higher level. And the caveat to that is this is it's not the most fun book to read. It reads like a textbook, but the message is powerful. So excited to share with you the four disciplines of execution. Let's go. Today we're going to be talking, continuing our conversation around the four disciplines of execution. If you're coming in sideways today, we're going to be talking about the fourth discipline of execution. In the last three episodes, we've quickly covered discipline number one, which is focus on the wildly important goal. Discipline number two, which is identify and act on the lead measures. Discipline number three is keep a compelling scoreboard. And today, discipline number four, the conversation is around keeping a cadence of accountability. All right, so cadence of accountability. I actually love the word cadence. I overuse it probably because my daughters make fun of me for saying cadence, but really there is a cadence to success and a cadence to life. And regardless of whether you're winning or losing, you've created a cadence that is in direct proportion to the results you're experiencing. So the whole idea behind this is cadence of accountability means there's a consistency and a flow to the accountability. Where we've learned to hate the word accountability is we associate it with being in trouble, somebody telling us what to do. When ultimately, when we're in trouble, it's when we didn't have the pre-conversation around these other pieces that now we're in trouble for not doing the things, and we perceive that to be being held accountable. I will tell you that I fought the word accountability for a long time in my career. In fact, because a lot of us choose entrepreneurship to create freedom within our world, we think freedom is the opposite of accountability. When in fact, the more you're held accountable to the things that are important to you and exercise your discipline, that is the pathway to freedom. And until we realize that, we will continue to fight accountability. I was at a real estate conference several years ago where the speaker said something that had a huge impact on me. In fact, he said it within the first few minutes of his presentation, and I got so caught up on this one statement that I didn't even listen to anything else he had to say behind this, which I'm sure there was a lot of brilliant nuggets. But one thing he said was this: talent seeks accountability. And this bothered me. And the reason this bothered me was I believed me to be a talented person. I believed I had the talent. Yet, I knew I fought accountability. In fact, I had some pride around, I'm a rule breaker. Nobody can hold me accountable but me. And so there was conflict there of me saying, I am a talented person. And this person that I'm paying to listen to right now is telling me that a talented person actually seeks out. Seeking is actually going and finding and asking for accountability. And there was conflict for me. And ultimately, as I sat and thought through this, an aha, a light bulb went off in my head to say this: well, I am talented, and realistically, I'm a very disciplined person, so I do have some element of accountability. In fact, my self-accountability is very good if I believe in the activity being directly tied to the result that is important to me. If I'm being held accountable to something that I don't believe in, or I don't see a connection between that activity and the end goal that is important to me, I still to this day will fight that activity. It's just in my nature to not want to do it. But if I can see how that activity, regardless of how painful and hard it is, and how uncomfortable I have to get to do it and build a habit around it, if it is directly tied to a result that is important to me, I will be held accountable to that. And so ultimately I had to embrace the idea that talent does in fact seek accountability. And we, in seeking accountability, it's understanding what I'm being held accountable to, what is the discipline and the habits that need to be created around it, and is that activity, can I see that that activity is actually directly connected to the end result that I'm trying to achieve? So think about it this way. If you believe and want to be held more accountable, then a characteristic or a trait that you need to adopt is you need to be accountable. So a lot of times we ask somebody, man, will you hold me accountable? Hey, I don't really don't want to run, but I need to lose some weight. Will you hold me accountable? So ultimately what we're looking for when we say it that way, when we frame accountability of telling somebody else to hold us accountable, is ultimately what we're looking is for someone else to blame when we don't do it. Well, I didn't run this morning because you didn't call and wake me up. Well, I didn't run this morning because yesterday you didn't ask me how my run went, and so I didn't really feel motivated to do it. When we put 100% of accountability on somebody else, we're looking for somebody to blame for our own choice not to do the activity. So when we say our characteristic, a part of who I am an accountable person. It's I choose to hold myself accountable to the result. Now, there is an important part of having somebody help hold you accountable in the form of a coach or an accountability partner, but it's not their job, it's not their fault when you don't do the activity. The ultimate accountability lies with you, and there's no way around that. You have to adopt that if you're not achieving the results that you want in your world, nobody is to blame but you because you're not accountable. And it's probably not a matter of you not being a disciplined person. It's a matter of you not taking the time to do the work to connect that activity and the discipline around it to the ultimate goal and creating that positive and negative emotion, which we just talked about in a previous episode. So number one is you have to choose to be accountable and build the disciplines and habits around that. Now let's quickly talk about your accountability partner in the form of a coach or a peer accountability partner. Both scenarios work. In fact, you probably should have both. But here are a couple of important things with having a great accountability partner. Number one, it's got to be somebody that you trust, somebody that you like. Because ultimately, our personalities are, if someone comes in and tells us what we should be doing or calls us out on our excuses, we instantly don't like that person. We want to put up our dukes and fight them, and we want to tell them every reason why they're wrong. Unless it's somebody we respect at a high level and we've given permission, we've pre-given permission to call us out. This is a really important piece to establishing the goal and setting up your expectations with your accountability partner. If you ask someone to be your accountability partner, they should be very clear on what is the end result that you're trying to accomplish. Why is that important to you? How are you going to feel if you don't accomplish that? How are you going to feel if you do accomplish that? What's that going to mean for your family if you do accomplish that? What are the activities? What are the daily activities that you're committing to do? And how do I hold you accountable? And what does your scoreboard look like? Then another really important piece to this is a great accountability partner will ask this question. In the event that we're having an accountability conversation and you did not hit the goal, you didn't do the things you committed to do, what would you like me to say to you in that instant that is going to affect change? Do I have your permission as your accountability partner to be brutally honest and direct with you while maintaining our friendship and our relationship, regardless of what excuse you show up with? So now the accountability partner has got permission that when 3-4 months down the road, or 3-4 days, depending on the person, and that person shows up already ready to give their excuses. Because the truth is, when you go to meet your accountability partner and you didn't do the goal, your subconscious is already lining up the excuses of like, well, my car broke down. Well, my kids didn't sleep last night, so I couldn't, naturally, I couldn't get up and do my lead generation this morning. We've already created the excuses. You need an accountability partner that says, hey, you know what? There's 1,000 other people that their kids didn't sleep good last night too. And probably 950 of them woke up this morning with the same excuse you did, and they're not going to hit their goals this year. But I'm telling you, there's 50 other ones that did, regardless of what their kids did. And probably some of them had kids that were worse than yours last night. got up and still got their goals done. Those people are going to hit their goals this year. Why aren't you one of the 50 people that, regardless of what happened in their world, got up this morning and did their lead measures? Now, that's the kind of type of accountability partner you need, is somebody that can be sympathetic to what you're going through, but also be direct with you and hold you accountable. Okay? I can think about my career. I've had some incredible accountability partners that really called me out, because I'm a good salesperson and I know the language of sales. I'm also very good at selling myself and creating justification around my goals. I've also had some accountability partners that we weren't great at holding each other accountable. We were better friends than we were accountability partners, and it didn't work well. So you need to give your accountability partner permission. So ultimately, discipline number four is this: create a cadence of accountability. How frequently are you meeting? When are you meeting? What exactly does that conversation look like? And does the accountability partner see the bigger picture? Have you invited them and was vulnerable enough with them to tell them what you are trying to accomplish? And did you give them permission to hold you accountable the way you need to be held accountable? That they have permission to give you those direct conversations and call you out on your bullcrap and get you rolling forward? The last piece of this puzzle is clearing the path. If you think back about every time you've approached the runway of your goals, there's some consistency on the obstacles that show up over and over and over again. One of the biggest ways that we can really change our trajectory moving forward is doing what we call clear the path, or from the book, The One Thing, sweeping for minds. Already pre-identifying what are the things that are gonna come up that are gonna keep me from hitting my goal, and let me just pre-eliminate those. For example, one of the biggest ones all of us get right now is we live in a world where communication is constant and it's moving, and your phone, even while you're listening to this podcast, your phone is probably giving you 50 notifications. Well, we have the ability to turn off those notifications, because every time a notification dings or an email comes up or a Facebook notification comes up, is our attention is diverted. Even if it's for a split second and we look over and look back, by that time, we've got to recalibrate. We've got to re-give energy to catch up to where we were. So whatever those minds are, or whatever those obstacles are, we can pre-eliminate them, right? This goes for their personal goals too, right? If you're making an effort to eat more healthy right now, part of this is making sure you're cleaning out your cupboard of all the little snacks that are your go-to snacks at the end of the day and making sure they're not at your fingertips. Maybe going grocery shopping when you're not hungry, that you had a good meal before you go grocery shopping, so you don't have impulse buys. These are all just pre-little thoughts of saying, if these are my pitfalls, if these things keep catching me, how do I eliminate them? Clear the path, sweep the minds, and you'll have a much higher probability of winning this game. This wraps up our conversation on the four disciplines of execution. Again, I know you took the time to set your goals. I know you're committed to making that happen. Now we just have to get better at executing on those goals. We just covered the four disciplines of execution, which is number one, focusing on the wildly important goal. Number two is identifying and acting on those lead measures. Number three is keeping a compelling scoreboard that you refer to often and have those CEO conversations. And number four is creating that cadence of accountability with you being held accountable, being accountable, and having a great accountability partner. And if you're asking somebody else to be your accountability partner, you should offer to be somebody else's accountability partner, because that's just great partnership. All right, my friends, I appreciate you guys. Looking forward to you going out and putting these into motion and executing on a higher level in both your personal and professional life. Thank you guys for leaning into the whole enchilada and the enchilada nation. I love this community. I appreciate growing with you guys. Don't forget, go live life on your terms.